time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Today's show is in my series, Organic Gardening. And let me say this, if any of you out there has ever killed a plant, well then, today's show is just for you. And I have people that say, well, I can't keep a plant alive, or my wife kills every plant. This is on container growing, plants that we would actually keep outside in containers. But everything you learn here today, you can obviously apply to inside your home as well. So let's talk about the reasons for container growing first. Number one is there are people that travel often. You just can't have these large gardens that are outside, the immense amount of care that it takes for them. For example, most of my gardening is container growing because with Joey B's Outdoor Adventure, you know, we're filming out across the country. So I used to have huge gardens, but I found out that it doesn't work out well for me because I'm traveling often. Now, for many of you that live in apartments, container growing is absolutely the way. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. There is a beauty that goes along with container growing because of the vast variety of plants that you can grow. My front porch, with my rocking chair on it, has all these plants, vegetables, and herbs, and flowers, and it's a thing of beauty. So you can add beauty to your home as well. And for those of you that want to, again, this takes a little bit extra, these plants become mobile. If you wanted to move them over because of the sun, you know, hand truck for the large containers, you know, just move, you could actually do that. And then there are some people that say, well, I'm going on vacation and people don't want to come water my house. And they actually will cart the plants over to someone else's house. I actually pay someone, our youth, always taking care of our youth, for them to water plants. So when I'm gone, good old Nat is over here and she will take care of all the plants for me. Well, let's figure out, okay, so how do we get started in this? And it starts with good note-taking. And I'm going to play the make-believe because I'm going to talk a little bit about what I do. And I'm going to tell you that I actually have a small notebook. It happens to be in my garage on my radial arm saw table because that's the saw that I use the least. And I record everything that I do that is different or everything that I purchase plant-wise in this notebook. The remedies, and I'll talk about some organic remedies, you know, when you run into pest problems, etc. Well, I always look at that and I look at my successes, and that's important. And here's the thing, and I talk about this often, it's not failures, but it's learned experiences. Because hey, not everything goes perfect, especially with plants. So what are those learned experiences? And it might be I want to try a different variety of a plant because I like this plant, but this particular, and I'll just say tomato, wasn't successful. Well, what can I learn from it that I can actually, you know, change? So that notebook in the garage becomes important. I also list where I bought plants at and what nutrients I used with those plants. I list problems, the pests. Some of my pests aren't just insects. They happen to be animals, and I'll discuss something like that. And I'll discuss with you one of my little changes that I made because, you see, I'm doing this today on this show. I am a note taker, and I started these notes yesterday morning. Because yesterday day was my day to do my container growing, my planting. So I'll chat with you a little bit about that and how I took care of, hopefully, an animal problem at that point in time. So let's talk about plant selection. Well, the plant selection, you want to be able to go to a quality nursery. And the way that you know that you're in a quality nursery is you begin to ask some questions and they just have great answers. It's not like, oh, yeah, the tomato plants are over there. Well, that doesn't help you. You're looking for disease-resistant plants, and on the backs of the tags, specifically the tomatoes, you know, with research, you will see that it talks about, you know, they are disease-resistant, etc. And you want to actually pick up the plants and take a look at their general health, where they water, because again, in the little packs or the little pots that they sell, they dry out very quickly there. are the people in the nursery taking care of the plants? For me, I am an environmental scientist. One of my degrees at Rutgers is in botany, so I've done a lot of research with plants. And I've worked with chiliplants.com. No, I don't get any money for talking about them right now. But if you go to chiliplants.com, they have 500 varieties of peppers from around the world. And I am telling you, you name a pepper, and they are there, and they ship directly to your door. They're very good at what they do. And they have the Butyrlochia, the hottest pepper in the world, down to the bells and the sweetest, like every pepper. They have 150 tomatoes from around the world. They've got eggplants from around the world. And when I was out on their farm yesterday, I picked up some mini basils, and I liked these yesterday. The leaves are these tiny, tiny little leaves. And if you don't know this, basil grown near plants, you know, tomatoes, peppers, specifically tomatoes, and not that it makes good sauce, but it does. The basil actually is a natural insecticide and keeps bad bugs away. So even if you're not a basil, because I'm not even a big basil person, like a loving basil taste, but it's okay in sauce, and that's about it. I'm not a pesto guy or anything like that, but I am planting it just for that reason. And again, I'd say this, it does have a nice aroma. I am looking for, if I can find them, that's why I go to chiliplants.com. I'm looking for organic plants. I don't want plants that were, GMO'd up, we'll say it that way. And that's the first thing, is find that reputable dealer to purchase plants. The next thing is, okay, nutrients. Because, you see, you want to make sure before you begin your adventure that you've actually made all the purchases. And again, it's not expensive to get into container growing. I'd say this, the nutrients, there's two that you need to buy. One is kelp, and kelp is good for two things. When you're transplanting a plant, and obviously you're putting plants into a container, so you're transplanting them, it is good for stress reduction. And I often get this question, humans say, well, if it's good for stress reduction, then can I drink it? No. It is not for you. It is for the plant. And also promotes root growth. So when you're transplanting a small little plant and you're putting it into a larger pot, well, you need root growth. So the kelp is for that. And the nutrients that you need to feed your plant, the other thing you need to purchase is fish emulsion. It is ground up fish and fish guts and fish heads. So it doesn't smell the greatest when you open the bottle, but you're diluting it in water. And no, when you're putting it around your plants, you might smell it as you're pouring it. And your people go, oh my goodness, my front of my house is going to smell like, no, it's as soon as you get it into the soil, it's fine. But that's one of the things. And if you're planting outside from seed, and I do, for, my favorite lettuce happens to be arugula, and the arugula seed, I plant from seed, and you need to know that the natural insecticide, or I should say this, I take that back, the natural fungicide, because Dampier fungi attacks baby plants when plants are just germinating, is chamomile tea. And you need to brew some chamomile tea day before to let it cool down so it is at room temperature. And when it's at room temperature, then you can use that. So you're actually putting that on the plant, and you give it chamomile tea until the second set of leaves. The first leaves are called seed leaves. And then the second set of leaves. So you're doing chamomile tea until that point, but you are preventing damping off fungi. The next thing I say is, okay, we need to prepare. We need to purchase soil. Well, I say every year you're going to take the soil that was used in a pot, because I reuse the same pots year after year. Hey, do I replace some or find something that's really cool looking? And the answer is yes. But I buy organic soils. They make some potting mixes. I mean, there's so many that are out there. I stay away from, and I'll just use a brand name, the Miracle-Gros and all, because I am an organic guy, although Miracle-Gro now does make some organic, so, you know, kudos to them on that one. But I'd rather spend a dollar or two more per bag, because you're not buying many bags, on an organic soil, because, I mean, hey, if this is organic gardening, then I guess our soil should be organic, our plants should be organic, our nutrients should be organic, so that's what we're looking to do. I just need to take a sip of water. Maybe I should be watering the plants, but excuse me a second. All right, I'm good. Here we go. Now, let's talk about, you have your pot, and now I'm going to prepare this pot to put a plant in it. And how do I do this? And it's funny that I did this yesterday, so I can talk to you step by step. And I am a rubber glove guy when I do all this, and not that it matters. Yes, I don't mind washing up and all this, but it definitely works out easier. My good buddy Inspector Dave, Organic Gardener with Inspector Dave, and you could see him on Joey B TV, Joeybee TV. You'll see that Inspector Dave wears the gloves all the time because he's in the garden all the time. So here we go. I now have my pot. I've peeled the... My pet peeve with the companies is they put the sticky labels that tell you what pot and the price on it, and it's impossible to peel them off. My father has always shared with me about a little rubbing alcohol, just a little bit. We'll get the residue off. So I've got that. Now, you may want to make sure that your pot has holes on the bottom. You absolutely, here's the key thing, have to have drainage. So before you purchase a pot, double check to make sure it does have drainage on the bottom. If they're plastic pots, because I'll talk about the different types of pots in a few minutes. If they're plastic pots, well, if you're handy, and I am, I guess, thank you, Dad, for teaching me. But you can drill holes in a pot. Say you find a pot you just love. Well, you can drill holes in the bottom of that. So one of the things you're going to need is a paper towel. And you go, what is a paper towel for my hands? No, it is. And I learned this growing up. I worked in a nursery, one that sold plants, not kids. Get my little humor there. Old Italian guy, Al, in the nursery and brilliant at plants. And Al, paper towel on the bottom, because if you don't, as you water your plant, the soil is going to want to run out through the bottom. So we're going to prevent that. So little piece of paper towel on the bottom. Some small little rocks that are, you know, say 2 inches around. You know, you find around your yard. You go, what do I do with these rocks? Well, now you got a little pile, and now you know what to do with them. And you put about an inch, you know, if you're doing like an 8-10-inch pot, about an inch on the bottom. And it's allowing for extra drainage. So when the water hits those rocks, it finds its way quickly through and out. So you've got that. And then you begin to put the soil in. And use a little broken twig that you found and tamp the soil down. Tamping the soil down means just packing it down lightly. And you don't want to, like people press with their hands. And no, we don't want soil compaction, but we do want to take out if you don't know this, the reason why plants rot is there's all these open oxygen spaces down there, and that's not what we need. So we just slightly tamp the soil down. And what I have found out is years ago, they used to have these workmates that, you know, they advertise on television that you can, you know, use for your sawing and I happen to have a work meet, but I found out is the perfect portable table. So now I can prepare my plants close, because hey, some large pots are very heavy. Prepare my plants close to where I am actually going to put them. And what I do is this: I actually take a big black plastic bag, garbage bags, put it over the work meet table, so it's over the top, and just sort of cover it. And now, so the actual wood on the workmate is not getting, you know, wet, injured, et cetera. So I actually use that. And when the bag is about to get, you think it's about to get beat up, well, you pull it off, use it as a garbage bag, put a new one on. And it's a great way, you know, if, hey, you have some heavy plants, well, and the other side of it is you're not bending over constantly to do all your plants or on your knees to do, hey, there's sometimes with, hey, some of my larger pots, I have got those little foam kneelers because yesterday, I have 1, 2, 3 that I actually had to kneel down to. So, you know, because I have humongous amounts of container-grown plants. Henceforth, I say I am the expert that you're never an expert because you always want to learn. I'm kidding. But you know, that's an important thing. So let's go to the types of pots. Well, you can use plastic, as we discussed before. And plastic does well, but you need to make sure you have drainage in them. I have a few ceramic pots out there. You know, it's funny. Some ceramics are very expensive, but you can find some ceramics. Hey, do your shopping, your consumer shopping. And that does include garage sales. And I do drive-by garage sales where I just drive by slowly and I look in. And if there's something that's the slightest interest, I pull over. If not, I just keep driving by, you know. And hey, and I'm going to say this. I don't slow down for every garage sale, but there's some that just somehow, you know, it's almost intriguing to me is if I see a tool or if I see a fishing rod, that's the one I stop at. The rest I just keep driving by. And then you can use clay pots. And you know what? Clay pots come in all different shapes too. So there's some pretty cool, unique shapes out there as well. Now, let's talk about healthy plants. And I did talk about selecting healthy plants. But as you're putting your organics on them, specifically the kelp, well, the plant is becoming this healthier plant. And here's one crazy thing. And so for any of you that's listening out there that's got, you know, your regular backyard garden, could you use kelp and fish emulsion in your garden? Yeah, you should. The answer is you should. Pests, we're talking about insects, they only see, only see unhealthy plants. You see, unhealthy plants give off a color, a shade of red that we don't see as humans, but the insects can see. And insects attack unhealthy plants. So if you're keeping your plants healthy, then you do not have an insect problem. How cool is that? Well, I've got a problem with squirrels, raccoons, possums, skunks, and they like especially to dig in fresh soil. I don't know what the gig is with it. So I purchased yesterday, there was this plastic fencing. It's a roll 3 feet tall, 50 feet in length, and it's made to make a fence. Just tiny little square-inch holes. Because many times what I do is I will take chicken wire and put chicken wire, for example, I actually had my first lettuces from my garden yesterday, which is pretty awesome. But I typically put chicken wire over it and I have to move it and this and that. So what I tried yesterday is, and after I was done all my planting, it took a little time, but again, you're sitting in your nice organic container grow garden and it's peaceful, with country music, of course. And I cut up small pieces and put a little piece here. This one, again, depends on how much space, might be a piece that was 4 inches by 4 inches or 3 inches or 2 inches strip. And I put them because in many of my containers, I grow more than one plant inside of them. And then the larger, I am a chiltepin, and chiltepins happen to be a tiny little chilies. Centennial is my favorite. Again, if you like hot, there are so many different hots, but the chiliplants.com, I buy the centennials that are there. And it's really cool. When you're looking at the plant, the fruits, instead of most fruits hang straight down, these grow straight up, the chiltepins, tiny little peppers. And on the same plant, some will be green, some will be white, some will be yellow, some will be red. So you get these really cool looking things. And when they're red, and I dry them, and these tiny little guys, and I get them by the thousands, because I grow five plants a year. And the five plants will actually harvest thousands, and I dry them, and it is... I crush my own red pepper seed, and this one is smoking hot. A lot of my family that says, well, I could eat hot, I get to see how fast they can run because they go, oh, wow, you're manly or I am womanly, and give me some of that hot stuff there. And it is so smoking hot. But again, that's one thing for you to see. But some of the smaller plants I put in yesterday, well, I cut some of that plastic netting with a hole in the center, and I just put it over the entire. So that's my – see, life is an experiment. So I keep experimenting, and there's my experiment with that plastic that goes over it. So we'll see if that keeps the critters from digging. Hopefully it does, just like deters them from saying, hey, I mean, I got to put my paws through it, and I'm sure it will, but I'll let you know on another show. And then I also recommend that you use plant markers. And many of the markers you actually get from the nursery, you know, you purchase a plant, it's got, put a marker in there. Because maybe 2 weeks later, two plants look very similar. You're going, well, now you'll know what they are. And if you don't, they sell plastic little markers, and I recommend the plastic over the wooden because wooden, it tends to rot. When you write on it with permanent markers, it tends to run. It bleeds once you get water on them, so take that one from experience too. And I'd say this, that little notebook I was speaking about before, where you want to continue to take notes. And take notes through the season saying, hey, this plant's growing well, this plant's not doing well. And sometimes you take notes and say, well, I moved this plant from point A to point B, and now all of a sudden you notice that at point B, a specific plant was doing better. Well, now there's your notes for next year. You're going, okay, when I start the season, I start this plant at point B. So it depends, because sometimes it could be a matter of one plant is getting an extra hour or two of sun just based on, you know, and I'll just keep using my porch. It's an open porch, flat porch. And, well, you're going to get more sun on one side than another. The way I have beautiful flowering cherry that, you know, and some different other plants, rhododendrons and all that, cut down on some of the light in certain areas. So that's what you need to do. Now, let's talk about watering and sources of water. What do you mean sources of water? Well, you can collect water in rain barrels. My great buddy Inspector Dave in his organic garden is spectacular looking at his organic garden. Once again, you can watch those at Joey B TV. And Inspector Dave collects all of his rainwater. And if you're not that intuitive or you don't, maybe you have a small little garden, or maybe you're in an apartment with only a couple plants. Well, I'm going to tell you to fill up your water container, you know, with city water and you let it sit there because if there's fluorine in the water, it is a gas and you want it to escape out because you don't want to pour that on the plants because that can actually make leaves turn a little yellow, and the term for that is chlorotic. So chlorine gas. So we want to make sure that we get that out of their gases, get them out, and once we have them out, then we're, so to speak, putting a pure water inside of there. And I'm sure you know that this show is brought to you by Tranquility Mountain Backpacks. Have you seen the new Joey B. Signature Series? If not, go to TranquilityMountain.com. This is where adventures begin. And if you have a question or maybe you have a thought about a future show, something I mentioned, you can tweet me at Joey B. News. That's at Joeybee News. Now, they're in doing, again, you pay somebody a couple bucks and they learn a little responsibility, but the other side of that one is they hopefully start to get a little nurturing, a little love for being in a garden. And that's important too. You know, those are things that you could share with our youth. So let's just say that you have now had the greatest year because, see, I grow flowers in mine. Yesterday in some of mine, I put tomatoes and basil and thyme and sage and rosemary, and that's in one huge pot. So you see, I get in one pot many different things going on. I actually prepared a few pots, hand them off to go visit mom and dad tomorrow. So I'll be bringing over a couple pots that I've prepped for them. They make great gifts. And I'm not joking. It's like, to me, it's like you can go buy something in a plant store in a nursery somewhere, or you can make it. And, you know, it's, and so to speak, the little kid thing made with love, well, it really is made with love. And you're going to give them specific plants that they want too. And a lot of my things, like, for example, the rosemary, the sage, the thyme, they're grown from seed from me. So again, it's a little bit of that love. So now I've got flowers, and so I've got plants that you get to eat. And some of the flowers, even on chili peppers, some of them are these beautiful purples and violets and whites with these little iridescent blue lines in them. So they add color to your apartment, your fire escape, if it's legal to have plants on your fire escape. If you're an apartment dweller, please make sure you, but they also, some apartments, they allow you to garden up on a rooftop. And if you're going to do that, remember that things dry out quickly up there, and you could, there's some weeping systems of water that you can use. There are weeping hoses and things that you could also attach if you have places that dry out. So now let's talk about, it is now, the season is over. Well, what you want to do is you'd like to remove the plants. So you're going to pull those out and root systems out. I leave the soil in because I'm going to stack them, and I'll explain exactly how I stack them and what I do. But some of the flowers, there might be petunias, things like that, that people say, well, they're annuals. I'm going to let you know that many of them do come back next year. Pretty amazing. So some of the plants, and there's this one straw flower. It's funny. I stored my pots, and this was the middle of last winter, and I go downstairs, and I just happen to look by, and no exaggeration, it's one of the ones that I did not, you know, pull out, and I saw one leaf, and I'm going, what the heck is this one leaf? And it was growing. There's a little bit of sunlight down there in the basement coming through this window, and there's one leaf out there, and first I'm thinking, is it a lettuce? I'm going, no. And I bring that pot upstairs, put it in a saucer of water, because I always water from below, and it's... Inspector Dave and I will do a whole show on watering because there's some really cool techniques with polarity, things like that. And I am telling you right now that it is time to put my plants outside. And this straw flower, the actual plant, it hasn't flowered yet, is humongous. So from one barely little leaf growing to saying, hey, I think that's alive, let me give it mouth to leaf. And I take care of it throughout the wintertime, and bang, and there it is. So I just put out a plant yesterday that's like full grown, ready to flower. Excited about that one. Well, what I do is in the corner of my basement, I actually have a section just for my pots. And I'm going to put a larger pot down. And now there's some soil inside of it. And I find another pot that fits on top of it. And I typically don't, I don't stack threes, but twos. And I put and stack them that way in one corner. And when it's time to, I let them dry out outside. And for the sole reason is that you don't want to be lifting a heavy pot. And obviously when they're dry, they're very light, you know, to lift. And if you have a problem, can't lift, well, then you get someone, you get a neighbor, you hire that youth or a youth who's strong enough to move these pots around for you. And that's where I store my pots, and they're ready to roll next year. Next year, the same process about putting new soils in and all that. And that's where I begin at that point. So what do you do in the wintertime? Well, in the wintertime, it's time to go to seminars. It's time to go learn from other people. And your county agents, and there are master gardeners and master gardener programs maybe you want to get involved in, or just go listen to, you know, one of them speak at Rutgers University, and I'm a Rutgers grad. Their master gardener program is something that is exemplary. And you can go speak to your county agent. There's a lot of the environmental centers, and at the environmental centers, they do winter seminars. And then there's just plant shows, and, you know, wintertime plant shows, you know, meant to excite the mind. And again, obviously, there's people there to make a couple bucks, and hey, I have no problem with that. But the other thing is they offer free seminars, so go learn a little bit. There was one woman who was teaching one year, a couple of years back, about growing of lettuces, and she spoke about the red sail lettuce as being a heat-resistant lettuce. And hey, I live in a part of the country where summer times are brutally hot. Well, last summer, because, you know, typically lettuces are a, where you live if it's brutally hot, are a spring crop and a fall crop. I was able to put the red sail lettuce in the summertime, and I got a summer crop of lettuce. So, I mean, real simple. So, hey, we're, you always say, well, you're the expert. No, it's, you're not an expert because you always want to learn. And that's the key thing. So what did you get out of your, you know, your container growing? To me, that is absolute peace. It's peaceful yesterday when I was doing the planting. It's peaceful today when I actually, and I have a rocking chair out there and a small little table. And it's peaceful when I am just sitting in a rocking chair, maybe reading, thinking about my next adventure, come back from a long day. Hey, there are days that we've, you know, you're out there and you're filming all day long and you're just going, all right, I need a cold beverage. And no, it doesn't have to be alcoholic. It could just simply be a cold glass of water. And I'm just sitting in that rocker going, man. And you're surrounded by plants, some flowers, some vegetable plants, which I said, some of them have some very pretty flowers on them. And it is beautiful. I have a small little table and I have dining. It's large enough, just large enough for four. And you know what? You have people over and they're going, this is beautiful. It's because the sun is just past at dinner time on my porch. So it depends on where you are. And with it just being past, it's the perfect place to be. And one of my neighbors one time just, you know, chatting came over. I said, come on up and have a beer. And we sit down and she goes, this is so nice, so peaceful. She said, you might find me on your porch someday. Hey, you're more than welcome. And as I said to you, you know, you also get to share this. And please, anything that you do that's a positive thing, share it with our youth. I think that's so important. And then you get the bounty, all the fruits of your labor, so to speak. And it is, there is nothing better in the whole wide world than eating something that you've grown, so you have a stake in it. But the other side of it is, they just taste, and you know this, you pick a tomato out of your garden and you're eating that. And so, you know, I grow these early wonder tomatoes, smaller guys, very prolific, grow a lot. And it's like you eat one of those and you're, man, this is spectacular. And then it is time well spent in there, and it's the planning, you know, the dreams of next year about how good will your garden be next year, because I'm sure as you learn more, you in turn get to share more with your plants, so to speak, and your garden will be a great garden this year and every year in the future. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. That was awesome.